All right, all you internet geeks, it is the John DiBella Show Daily Podcast. How goes it? Dave here on this Friday, September 20th. What the heck did we talk about today? Well, let's see. It's Area 51 Day. Remember that? The big break-in, the big party, the big concert, whatever was supposed to happen. I don't know. Maybe it is happening. We speculated on that today. Rodman, Dennis Rodman. Remember him? How about Madonna? Remember her? Well, apparently they had a sordid rendezvous back in the day that just made its way into the public's perception. Sexy costumes are back as Halloween is on the way every year. There's always a new sexy costume that never was meant to be. Song Stories Today was bookended by Billy Joel and U2. And a pair of parents in India, well, the fact that they're expecting isn't news. The fact that they're in their 70s is. And Jason Mertedis returned with his football picks. And Dan Soder, comedian Dan Soder, also joined us in studio. Have a listen. Here we go. It is the Daily Podcast.
If you are hearing this right now, I guess it means you didn't add, be part of the raid on Area 51.
Oh, right? Oh, crap. The 20th.
The 20th. 3 o'clock in the morning is supposed to happen, and out there it's 3 o'clock in the morning. In case you don't know about the raid on Area 51, this was the viral sensation that was a joke, and then it wasn't a joke, and then it was a joke again, and then it was a music festival, and then it was nothing, and then it was a smaller music festival, and it was supposed to happen this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, and nobody showed up.
There's a couple YouTubers in the bushes,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Probably somewhere, right? But basically, nothing really went down. You know, we'll probably hear some reports in a little while of nothing happening.
Let's call him for an update.
You want to call for an update?
See, the problem was it started so long ago.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I thought it happened in August.
No. It was all supposed to happen September 20th.
They should have pushed their timeline back of when they announced it about a month and a half.
Right.
And
they
it would
a
have happened.
Better promotions
although,
director.
Although there were a couple of guys from, was it Australia or Austria or something like that, who were there a couple of weeks ago.
Same thing.
Right. That they.
Yeah, Hitler was from Australia, I think.
They were bloggers, and they decided to sneak into the Area 51 area. And when the authorities found them, they found them with video cameras, drones, computers, all kinds of stuff. And they're like, dude, this is not the equipment you want to be caught with in a government facility.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I'm trying to figure out some way to appear humble.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
You know what? Thank God for Dennis Rodman, because with Charlie Sheen gone, we don't have a good wacko out there anymore. All right, Dennis Rodman was on a radio station in New York yesterday where he claims that back in the 90s, when he was involved with Madonna, remember him dating Madonna?
Vaguely.
That Madonna offered him $20 million to impregnate her. Okay? So he's out in Vegas, right, playing craps or something like that.
Uh-huh.
All right? And he gets this call, and the pit boss says to him, hey, Madonna's on the phone. Right? And okay,
imagine
fine.
Taking that seriously.
All right, yeah. All right. And he's playing cards or whatever. Oh, and he was playing craps is what he was playing. And he picks up the phone and she says, I'm ovulating. You've got to come back to New York. Right. And, have your way with me. All right. So she sends a plane, a private jet, a G5 jet to go pick him up. He tells Vegas, hold the table because he's spending so much money. They'll do it. He's the only one playing at the damn craps table. So they hold the table for him. He gets on a plane. He goes back to New York, a 5-hour trip. Right. Does Madonna. Gets back on the plane and goes back to Vegas 5 hours later.
God.
All right?
This is nuts. Has he ever had a reality show?
No. Right.
I demand one.
He's such a wacko, he may have. It might have been while he was dating Carmen Electra.
But he never collected the $20 million because...
It didn't take.
Oh,
poor Madonna.
No.
After all that.
It's got to be, And then afterwards, she was really desperate. Just didn't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
So I guess, this was her best idea.
Hi, it's Madonna. Want to earn money fast? Now you can by getting me pregnant. Yes, I'm willing to pay $20 million to anybody who gets me pregnant.
Get you pregnant? How's it work?
Seriously?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Getting me pregnant is the only way to secure your financial future.
Honey, I've got some great news. You know your dream house? Well, I just bought it. I came into a lot of money and I bought you a mansion.
Oh my goodness. How? How did you do it?
I got Madonna pregnant. Want to see some pictures of the house?
Wait. What?
So if you want to get rich, knock me up. Get paid to get me pregnant today. You'll be glad you did.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You were going to put that somewhere. You're sick.
102.9.
Probably means the end of a great career.
Yeah, I would say so.
MGK.
You're fine.
Halloween is on its way, and it seems that the costumes... Why is it that no matter what there is out there, someone has to turn it to sexy that.
Well.
All right.
Like it's just how Halloween works.
There's a sexy face fake news dress.
Okay. So we're taking
So what? it's a
immaterial things.
Yeah, right. Taking a cheap dress, right? Putting news headlines all over it, and it has like a low top. Right?
Oh,
that
man.
Makes it a and it's short, so it's a sexy fake news.
Just keep Trump out of the costume,
and
I'm happy.
All right. There's a sexy handmaid's tail outfit.
Okay,
that kind of works.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
you don't know what's under the non-sexy handmaid's tail outfit.
That's true.
Keeps you wondering.
And sexy pizza rat.
Yes.
What is this, 2016?
I know. Well, no, Pizza Rat has become very, very popular.
It wasn't like Pizza Pigeon more recent?
It's almost like there's multiple Pizza
but
Rats.
But there's one that, like,
possible.
When I look at it, I find it appealing.
Okay.
But when I think about it, it's very, very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Cindy, if you would go to the Facebook page, you'll find that there's a brand new outfit there. Did you put both of them up?
I put both up, yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
All right. These are some of our favorite PBS characters. Right.
All I'm seeing is some booty stuff here.
Yeah, well, you're on the wrong page.
Click the link.
Click the link.
Come on. We're trying to get clicks here, Cindy.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day. It's sexy Mr. Rogers.
That's just
I'm in.
Very wrong.
It took the most wholesome person who's ever lived.
Right. And speaking about three words that you never expected to go together, sexy Bob Ross.
Wow. I
was zombie Bob Ross one year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Right?
I was not sexy Bob Ross. Did he wear some Daisy Dukes?
Actually,
I didn't realize that.
I was Bob Ross for Halloween last year. They are the exact shorts that I wore.
It is. Right.
Delete those immediately.
But, do you understand what I mean about these sexy, the sexy Mr. Rogers?
That's even worse than I imagined.
Yeah, but at the same time, see, you're not a guy.
Well.
Right? And let me just put it this way. It seems that sexy Mr. Rogers works.
That's not white paint.
Wow, that seems that cardigan's a little short on her, huh?
I don't particularly like
John DeBella.
For the same reason that I dislike
the John DeBella Podcast.
Scenes from an Italian restaurant from Billy Joel. And I was just talking to Taylor about back in the day in Billy Joel.
Right.
And whenever we play a Billy Joel song, without fail, there'll be some sort of reference to something there in the area where I grew up.
Sure.
So the Parkway Diner exists. Right, we all used to hang at the Parkway Diner, right?
I can relate. You ever hear Allentown?
I can relate too. Did you ever hear Streets of Philadelphia?
Oh, look at that.
Oh, okay.
Taylor, where's your tie-in?
George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers.
There you go.
You're welcome. I got
52 you. Degrees outside, a sunny day ahead of us with temperature getting up to 80 degrees. Jason Machitas will be with us at 7:40 this morning for Pigskin Picks. And remember, there is another $1,000 available with Cash Grab Fever coming up at 8 o'clock. Sabrina Hoffman picked it up in the 6 o'clock hour yesterday. And maybe today at 8 o'clock, you will be the person who wins $1,000. But right now...
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents... Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Philadelphia Orchestra. For tickets and show information, visit philorch.org. We're going to start off with a U2 song today. And, you know, when U2 started, there was the Boy album, there was October, you know, just basic rock albums. And then by the time they got to War, they really started writing politically. All right. Probably the first one being with War, Sunday Bloody Sunday, which basically talked about the troubles that were going on in Northern Ireland. You know, 1972, the Bloody Sunday thing that happened in Derry, where the British troops killed unarmed protesters. And that is basically when the Edge says they couldn't, you know, ignore politics anymore.
Over the years, we've been kind of a controversial band. Some people love us, some people hate us. But I think you have a strong feeling and a strong point of view with our music, one way or the other. And that's the way we want it, because that's what art should be. It shouldn't be just a comfortable, soft pair of shoes that you put on at the end of the day. It should make you think. And all our favorite bands did that for us growing up. That's the influence of The Clash or Bob Marley, John Lennon. These are the people that got us into music in the first place. We feel like we're continuing in their footsteps.
The John DeBella Podcast.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
102.9.
Take cover!
MGK.
I knew about this story. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the air. I'm not sure if any of you know about it. Did you hear about the woman in India who gave birth to twins?
Yes.
The 74-year-old woman in India who gave birth to
twins?
Get
it, girl.
Right, yeah. I mean, whoa. Oh, okay. All right. You know, but here's what makes it even stranger. Mm. The baby daddy,
okay,
her 78-year-old husband,
oh my God,
is who impregnated her.
Yes. You know what he's been using, guys?
Blue Chew.
Noxatril.
Noxatril.
I'm trying to find it's Viagra on steroids.
That's right.
It's like Cialis on crack.
Yeah.
The dumbest campaign.
Well, literally, this story just came out literally the day after it happened, after she gave birth. Uh-huh. The 78-year-old baby daddy collapsed from a heart attack.
Oh, no.
All right. He's still alive, though.
Oh, good.
Okay. And, you know, the daughters are perfectly healthy. All right. The baby wife is a spry 74 years old, as I said. She's suffering from some unnamed illness, which is something you can only get in India. They can't name, there's so many of them, they stopped naming them, right? But, I mean, these young whippersnappers, I don't know how much more they can take.
Yeah.
We should send them a gift.
Yeah, we should. Yeah,
more Noxatril.
Yeah. Got some laying around here.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Oh, that's... Go away, Baton!
Philadelphia's Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. He's back once again, although he didn't have such a great start last week.
Jason, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
Jason Martinez. Jason Martinez is here from our sister station, The Fanatic. Good morning to you, sir.
I bet you if I had a better week last week, you'd get that name right. I guess you were cursing me all week, weren't you?
No, that's okay. I didn't have any money on those games.
Well, you're the one that didn't. I did.
All right. Well, let's start with your game of the week this week. You just can't get enough of the Broncos, can you?
No. Well, you got to go back to the same well sometime. Game of the week, I'm going to the Eagles' next opponent, which is the Green Bay Packers in short order because they play them Thursday night in Green Bay. And I'm willing the Green Bay Packers to get a win this week at home again. They got the win last week at home over Minnesota. But I'll take Green Bay minus the 7.5 taking on Denver. Denver sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Flacco stinks.
He's no longer elite. That's why.
No. What he's got is heavy pockets because he got paid. A lot of guys, when they get fat and rich, well, they don't perform anymore. And that's the case here. So I love Green Bay this week. At home, they're so good. Problem is they've never lost on Thursday Night Football at home, and the Eagles play there next week. But that's a different story for a different day. But I'll take Green Bay minus the 7.5 to cover the number against a really bad Bronco team.
All right, now moving on to your lock of the week, New Orleans and Seattle. You got to pick Seattle on this, don't you?
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback?
Yeah, when you lose Drew Brees,
right,
and he's going to be out for at least 6 weeks, that is a huge problem. You couple that with the fact that they're going to Seattle, and they're starting to build that 12th man thing again with the Legion of Boom type defense. You know, they made the trade. They got Jadeveon Clowney. So New Orleans is going in. There's a big exhale when you lose a quarterback. I don't think you can get back up and the team raise its level of play after that. Seattle's in trouble here. The game opened at a pick. It's now 4.5 in Seattle's favor at home. So all the lines indicating to me all the money's going to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Seattle.
Okay.
I'll be at the fish market cashing on this one as well. I'll take a minus to 4.5 because I think, and the thing with New Orleans too, they give up points. So even when they won in week one, they gave up a ton of points. They gave up points against the Rams. I'll take Seattle all day here.
Can you believe the loss of quarterbacks this season already?
It's crazy.
I mean, absolutely insane. You know,
I mean, you even got one that went out for mono. In high school? The kissing disease, for goodness sake. Who the hell's he kissing?
And then lastly, of course, the Eagles game. The Lions coming to town. Eagles, 6.5-point favorites on this one.
Yeah, and obviously they're dealing with a ton of injuries as well. I think the quarterback's a little banged up, but I think he's obviously good enough to play. But you're probably not going to have Deshaun. You likely won't have Alshon. Still not sure on Goddard, but they're banged up in a big way. But last week, I think that was more of a product of them not looking good in the first half because the whole game plan was with those guys. And then seems like four plays into the game, they don't have them. So you got to tear up the game plan. And those second wide receivers and Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside hadn't worked with the ones that week. This week they're working with the ones, albeit it was a walkthrough yesterday for some bizarre reason. But even that said, the Lions are the Lions. And the Lions perpetually stink. So I'll take the Eagles in this game at home. And I think they know. I think there's a little bit of desperation here, too. They know they got to win because they're going to Green Bay 4 days after and trying to take on a team on Thursday night that's never lost on Thursday night at home. So I think this is an opportunity for them to come out, bear down a bit, overcome their injuries, and cover the number of the 6.5. And they're so good at home, so I'll take the Eagles minus the 6.5.
All right, so with the Broncos-Packers, you're going with the Packers. With the Saints and Seattle, you're going with Seattle. And, of course, you are taking the Eagles. A smart choice there, sir.
Yeah.
Smart choice.
I know what radio station I'm on. We're not on in Detroit. Are you simulcasting Detroit that I'm not aware of here?
No, thank you. That's a simulcast I actually don't even want.
Yeah. Syndication, no thanks.
Classic rock. 102.9 MGK.
John DeBella Podcast.
You have the right to remain horny.
Oh, God.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
Dan Soder returns to our studio. Good to see you, dude.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning when it's cold and then it's going to get hot.
Yeah,
you got it, man. That's it.
I don't know what keeps happening. I keep leaving the house in a short-sleeve shirt during the day, and then at night I'm like, it's freezing. And in the morning I'm like, I have a sweatshirt on, but I can already start to feel myself sweat. I'm always uncomfortable.
Where are you originally from?
Denver, Aurora, Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
So is that
Batman movie theater shooting.
That's the first thing I thought.
Put us
of.
On yeah. the map. Yep. Yeah, did it. Every single person, it's yep. the first thing they think of, and you're like, that guy wasn't even from Aurora.
Like
that's
a rival
how messed
town.
Up. He's from San Diego. So blame it on those beach bums. It wasn't us. We can breathe the altitude. I'm sorry that he couldn't take our air, and he snapped.
What was it like for you? Okay, how high is Aurora?
Well, 5280. It's a mile high up.
Right,
it's
right.
the same
so,
as Denver.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when you live in New York now, right?
Yeah, I live in New York City now.
So when you first moved to New York, did it take you a long time to adapt to the fact that you had to drink more in order to get drunk?
Dude, when I moved originally from Denver to Tucson. I went to school at the University of Arizona.
Okay.
And when I moved down there when I was 17 or 18, I was drinking like a man who fought in two wars like, compared to everybody else. Everyone was like, we're going to have like six beers and we're nuts. And I'm like, I'm half a bottle of Jack in. The voices are just starting to get lower. Yeah, I could out drink everyone. I out drank a couple dudes on Coke at University of Arizona. And that's impressive. When you can out drink someone who's on yak, you're like, these kids are like, you can go. And reversely, I brought in, I've lived in New York for about 13 and a half years. I brought an ex-girlfriend home to Denver to meet my mom for Christmas. Right. This was about 5 years ago. And my mom can drink, and I no longer drink. And so I was, we had this Christmas party, and my girlfriend like had a glass of wine, and I was like, hey, listen, you're from the Bronx. The altitude is a real thing.
Right. Altitude and alcohol is a real thing.
We were at the stage of the relationship where we still loved each other, but there was that thing of like, if the other person told you what to do, there was that resentment of like, I'm an adult. I know what I'm doing. And I was trying to be like, no, I'm serious. Altitude's a very real thing. She was like, stop bossing me around. And I was like, okay, all right. And she had one glass of wine. And then my mom was like, let's have a martini. And my mom made one of Trish's strong martinis. And the next thing I know, my girlfriend was acting like a 15-year-old girl, like that had three Zimas. It was like I was babysitting her. And I was like, I told you. And she's like, yeah. And then it was a fight. It was a huge – she was drunk. It was a huge fight. And then the next morning, she was so hungover, and she's like, you should have told me. I was like, that's all I told you. That's all I told you. But I remember after that glass of wine, I was like, maybe just that. And she was like, stop bossing me around. And I was like, I'm a former alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic that's from here. I know the terrain.
What's the difference in, I guess, the number of beers that you would be able to drink there versus here, or really anybody?
I would say, like, if I'm coming down off the mountain, sure. If I'm coming off the hill, I could probably drink 10 beers to your 5.
Wow. So that's a major difference.
See, Colorado, because of the legal weed, everyone thinks that they're all potheads. They're not. They're all alcoholics. They're all alcoholics.
Yeah, because it's cheaper.
It's cheap. Well, it's all, and there's all those like breweries have been big in Colorado for like 25 years. And then Coors, smartest thing Pete Coors ever did was get involved with the legal weed thing. That's how smart Pete Coors is. Is that dude, when the legal weed was in 2013, when it was being talked about getting legalized recreationally, Pete Coors came in and was like, let me give you guys a taxation, how we tax alcohol. Let me help you guys with the tax in Colorado. And he got it set up,
wow.
Which actually helped to push through. Wow. He was one of the guys.
Yeah, but I remember the first time I was in, give me a ski area. Not Vail.
A Basin.
No.
Frisco.
No. Denver, the really Boulder, good one. The
Keystone. Aspen.
Aspen. Thank you.
Wow. I see how rich your blood is. I just named every affordable ski resort. It shows you. Just shows you the white trash I am. Even Colorado, I can't escape that. I haven't lived in Colorado in 20 years.
I can honestly say I look down at Vail.
And you're like, ugh. I'm like, what about Copper? And you go, what is it, 94?
But being in a bar, the first night I was there, being in a bar, and the bartender hands me a drink, and I'm like, and I'm looking at the drink, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And the guy comes, and he just looks at me, and he goes, alcohol and altitude.
Dude. You
got to adapt.
It is crazy. People from Colorado can drink like hockey players. It's the best way I've said it. It's the only similarity I've ever seen is like trying to drink with people who play hockey. And you're like, oh, man, you guys aren't going to stop. This isn't going to stop. This is uncomfortable.
So all right. Are you involved with somebody now?
No.
So you're sober and single. Yeah. You're dangerous.
Yeah, which that means lonely. It's not dangerous at all. You realize that alcohol is the cornerstone for meeting everyone. Because when you don't have alcohol and you're like, do you just want to hang out for a coffee? You're like, what are we, starting a website together? It just always feels... It always sucks. And you're just jacked up on caffeine. Man. Like, when you go out for drinks, you loosen up and you're like... coffee, and you're just like, so long. Should we do this again? Should I put it in the calendar? What do you have? It's just, it sucks. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I also understand you don't like tattoos. You got a problem with tattoos.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a fun old bit of mine where I made fun of kids getting seaweed tattoos.
A seaweed tattoo?
Tattoos
are, I missed this.
Yeah, I mean, you just see people with sleeves now, and you're just kind of like. When I grew up, man, tattoos were terrifying. My dad's friend Jerry was like this Vietnam vet, and he just had these old worn tattoos. Oh. And then now kids are just all inked up, and you're like, "What do you weigh? 90 pounds? I'll walk through you."
And there's no color in the old ones, right?
If it was, it was like bad red.
Yeah, red was more
pink than it was red.
Yeah. No sharp lines.
You know? And now they're like perfect pictures of people, and you're like, "That sucks." We've gotten really good at tattooing. I mean, shout out to all the tattoo artists that are really good at what they do. But also, it's like a lot of the people that have tattoos, it's not as dangerous as it was. Right. It just used to be like, I'd literally be terrified of people with forearm tattoos in the 90s. And now you see them and you're like, all right, you probably work at a vegan bookstore. I don't know who you are. I'm not worried about you. The reason I wrote that joke, I think you're talking about a joke I did on Conan about how we ruined the tattoo, was I was in a coffee shop and this dude with neck tattoos was just staring at me. And I was just staring right back. And at one point I go, "What are you going to do?" And then he just looked down. The tattoo is dead. Because if that guy in the 90s would have said that, he'd be like, "Oh, what's up?" And stood up. And you're like, "Now I got a problem." The guy was like, "Sorry." "I don't know. You're sitting where I like to sit and read. I read my Chaucer there."
Dan Soder is appearing tonight and tomorrow night for two shows at 7:30 and 10 Helium Comedy. Get tickets to heliumcomedy.com or 215-496-9001. It is good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, dude.
And stop growing. All right, just stop. Well, I'll
when I come
you.
Back in, I'm going to be 8'5".
The John DeBella Podcast.
What is wrong with my radio? There's nothing wrong with your radio, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is here because we have Mickey Mouse engineering. That's what it is.
102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.